Or Sunday. Yeah, no sports yet. Just not until August. Okay. Yeah, I'd like to bring our meeting of the board of directors to order. Please join me for the flags.
Pledge allegiance to the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Can we please have a roll call?
Director Sesenia.
I'm here.
Director Cross.
Here.
Director Hubbard.
Present.
Vice President Fourcroy.
I'm here.
President Womack.
Yeah, we're missing Chris tonight. Okay, let's jump into our public safety reports with the fire department report. It looks like we have a printed one.
I do have Sheriff and CHP both online.
Why don't we go with them? Because I thought Paul was actually going to be here tonight.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Let's go with the sheriff for to start.
Good afternoon. This is Commander Boss with the Sheriff's Coast Station. Looking at our call statistics for last month, we had a total of 36. Well, sorry, I'm actually looking at the San Simeon one, which is also going on right now, that I'll be jumping on after I finish up with you folks. So starting over for May 2025, we had a total of 458 calls for service, which is up from 388 calls for service the prior year. Of note were 65 enforcement stops, 37 preventative patrol activities, and 18 disturbances. Something that I wanted to bring up, as it's going to potentially be relevant during the 4th of July weekend, is an ordinance update to Section 6.32 of the San Luis Obispo County Code, which relates to fireworks. So there currently is an ordinance that gives particular direction to the way fireworks can be utilized. The ordinance update that was approved by the Board of Supervisors last month has expanded in the enforcement capabilities of not just the sheriff's office, but county code enforcement as well. The highlights of the ordinance update relate to the avenues in which the sheriff's office or county code enforcement can take enforcement actions, specifically allowing for not just the criminal penalties related to the use of illegal fireworks through the Health and Safety Code, but through the addition of some enforcement actions that can be taken civilly. So, as is, with these new modifications, a social host or somebody that allows or permits illegal fireworks to be discharged from their property could be held civilly culpable. Those that allow minors to utilize illegal fireworks could also potentially face civil penalty. And the ordinance has been updated to allow potentially for spectators or somebody who's willfully present at an illegal fireworks or unpermitted fireworks discharge to potentially be civilly culpable under the new language in the county code. So our goal is to ultimately assist the community in being safer during these periods where, you know, fireworks are being discharged because of the risk, particularly with the illegal fireworks and the aerial devices that are discharged illegally, imported into not only the county but the state for use during these fireworks types events, including 4th of July, in order to minimize fire risk, because again, everybody's concerned with fire and the potential risk that that would pose to the community. So, on the heels of that, this ordinance update has given additional enforcement tools to the county to try to deter, if not penalize, those that would disregard public safety and allow for the use of unpermitted illegal fireworks displays. And that is what I have, unless anybody has anything for me.
I was just want to make sure, you know, I know that 4th of July is obviously a big time for that, but this ordinance is going to cover not only 4th of July, but, you know, the rest of the year, because I know in Los Osos especially, all of a sudden these fireworks will go off indiscriminately, and you're like, what the heck? Why is this going on? So I'm hoping that people take this to heart, and for the sake of us and our animals, they will
agree.
Yeah,
agree.
They will.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, I'm hoping that they get in line with this new ordinance.
Yeah, I hope so too. And so, to answer your question, yes, this is an ordinance that is an ordinance update to the county code, so it applies everywhere in the county, and it is going to be now the state of the county ordinance moving forward from today, or from when it was passed last month. So, obviously, with the disproportionate use of illegal fireworks occurring on the 4th of July, it was kind of a target to have this ordinance update in place for the 4th of July. But yes, it'll apply to you know, moving forward, essentially.
That's great news. Thank you.
Sure.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
I have a quick question.
Yeah.
I noticed on the calls for service that there is over twice as many calls that happened by this time this year compared to last year. Do you happen to know off the top of your head the trend or pattern that would explain why that number is so high compared to last year?
You know, I don't have any more information as to what has resulted in that. So, and again, as I'm looking at it, there's about 70 more calls for service. So roughly would be that 18% or 17% more calls for service for the month of May. But no, I don't have any additional insight as to what that would result in. And then just for clarification, so that those numbers, as we're looking at them, are any calls for service that came in with essentially the Los Osos Community Service District that originated from there. So it could be like a hang up, an incomplete call, but it does give you, as you start parsing those out, it does give you a little bit of insight as to what's going on. So again, not every one of those calls is like a burglary call or a theft call. Those are, again, just numbers. Just the numbers of calls for service that originated in or around the Los Osos CSD area. And that's why then we break out the call numbers for the categories of calls as you see them below. So those are really the better metric as to what's happening in the community necessarily than the numbers above are. But again, just kind of giving you just a general idea of overall call volume. And then more of the high priority public safety calls is what we pull out of those numbers below.
Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you. Thank you.
No problem. Much. Thank you all.
Okay, let's move over to the CHP report.
Good evening, everyone. I'm happy to be here. I got some stats to give to you. Last month, for the month of May, we had 3 property damage crashes. Again, that's where no injuries occurred. It's just damage to the property. We had one on LVR just east of Turie, one on 9th Street, and then a third on 2nd Street. Both those ones on 9th Street and 2nd Street were property damage crashes. That's why there's not an actual cross street reference goes with that. We had a hit and run crash on Los Olivos just east of 11th Street where a vehicle hit a fence and then left. Again, I stress the importance to try to gain as much information as you can about that vehicle. about the driver if you can, talking to neighbors, reviewing security camera footage. Those are all things that we do in addition, but I also like for people to be their own advocate and help us the best that we can. If you find a sticker on a car, something that's unique and identifiable, gives us one more piece of tool that we can go out there and try to find that person. We also had another unique one on Samurai east of 3rd Street. It was a bicyclist versus a car. Where it was determined that the bicyclist was actually under the influence of alcohol and sustained injury from that. I wanted to talk about our upcoming statewide maximum enforcement period that we're going to have on Saturday throughout the state. Our department has identified what we call maximum enforcement periods. These are different than one that we just had on Memorial Day, where we call those holiday enforcement periods. This one is going to be targeting specifically for speed. As we all know, it's graduation time, and that's the reason for why this date was picked for this Saturday. We're going to have 80% of our deployment throughout the state, including here in the San Luis Obispo office, out there working the road. You may have also seen the new specially marked patrol vehicle on the news and out on the road. It's a dark midnight blue Dodge Durango with the graphics on the side of it. The purpose for that vehicle is to catch those what we call video game drivers, those aggressive drivers that you're driving down, minding your business at 65 miles an hour, and somebody's cutting in and out. Those are the target that we're trying to look for on that. So you'll see that car out there a lot more as we've designated an officer to specifically drive that car for certain enforcement options that we have. And that's my report, unless you guys have any questions.
No, thank you very much. I might steal a little of Chuck's thunder, but he'll get to it at the end. But today is the last day of school here in Los Osos.
So okay.
Our kids are going to be out and about a lot more starting now. And
what's wrong with speed limits? What's wrong with speed limits? That's all I ask.
We'll do a sandwich. I'll be the beginning. You can do the end.
Okay.
But thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay. With that, Chief Province is here.
Well, good evening. Sorry, I'm a little late. I've had to run down into Pommel for real quick and come back. So here I am. So just go over your statistical report. There is an anomaly in there, and I just wasn't able to get to our statistician to find out what the problem was. But we're looking at 122 incidents for the month of May. That's right on track with where we normally are. Nothing really significant. The calls were dominated by medical aids. The 89 number that the squad shows is probably the more accurate number. The 189 number that the engine is showing for medical aids is inaccurate because, well, if you only ran 122 calls, you probably can't do 189 calls. So that doesn't really work out. Our second call type that was dominant was our public service assists, which is our pickup and putbacks and helping people with their water leaks and calls of that nature. We're looking at... Let me go ahead and jump down. We didn't have any significant fires. It was all dumpster fires or false alarms. There's no structure fires, no vegetation fires, no car fires. Responses into 9I and MDO. We had 6 responses into the 9I area and 8 responses into the MDO area. Year to date, we're at 19 and 19 in 9I and MDO. We gave aid to the county 16 times. We gave aid to Morro Bay 4 times. And here's another anomaly, 34 times is what it's called. Our year to date is 34 times to the county, 5 to the state, and then 8 to us. The county's come in 6 times. The state's come in twice. 5 cities once. That's probably going to be on our rescue responses, the USAR responses. Morro Bay 6 times. That'll be in our structure fires and our USAR responses, 33 times from the county. 4 times from SLO, and that's going to be structure fires and USAR responses, and then the state coming in 24 times. Like I said, trending, I think it's probably been since March since I've been able to get in here and see you guys. So as you can see, we're trending right on target with where we kind of normally are, and everything's looking pretty good. Toggle over to the board report. Pull it up here. So some changes that are going on. We were able to hire 8 new reserve firefighters. We're working on getting them through their training process. They're in their shadow shifts right now. We hope to get them up and running and start working shifts. We are looking to potentially do a badge pinning ceremony next month at the board meeting, provided they're all successful. We hired a new fire apparatus engineer paramedic, Sage Ritchie. He's coming out of the Chula Vista Fire Department. He worked for Santa Barbara County for a little while. So far, he's doing a great job. We got to get him to the academy so we can get him fully qualified. We started the weed abatement inspections. We told the community to have them done by May 31st. We've sent out notices, first round of notices, and second round of inspections will be going out here shortly. We were somewhere right around 200 notices for weed abatement. So those will be on the vacant. We're focusing on the vacant lots. As we receive complaints for homes, we're tackling those. The state DSI inspectors, the defensible space inspectors, are handling the houses within the SRA area. So Bayview Heights, Highland, Cabrillo Estates, those areas, the state inspectors are handling homes up in those areas. So as those inspectors, I don't have statistics on them. I don't believe they've been out yet since we've just hired those inspectors. So they'll be outgoing and doing the SRA inspections, the 4291s. Some changes. So Chief Jeremy Brandt out of the Ventura Camp program has been promoted to the Assistant Chief of the Coastal Division. So he'll have oversight of the North Coast Battalion and the South Coast Battalion and the new San Luis Battalion. He would be my supervisor and he will be taking the place of Chief Mike Salas. Very capable. Comes out of Riverside Unit. Worked on Truck 33 in a very busy community down there. Has a very extensive Schedule A background, which will be very conducive to the program here. He's been working in the camp program for about the last 10 or so years. I look forward to working with him. Unfortunately, he outcompeted me for the position, so I'll be there to support him and make introductions and get him onboarded for what's going on here in Los Osos. I have accepted a new position. They've created the San Luis Obispo Battalion, and that battalion will entail the airport fire station and the headquarters fire station, and it puts my house right smack dab in the middle of the battalion, so it kind of made sense, and it's a new challenge for me. Aircraft firefighting is something that I've never done, and so I took the opportunity to go ahead and participate in that. So it's been a fun 5 years working with you, and I will give my full energy into onboarding the new candidate. They are conducting right now. We're redrawing the job description. We'll be making up the interview questions. We're working with Manager Munns on coming up with desirable candidates, and then there'll be an interview process. So far, they have not flown the job yet because we're still working on putting the job description together. The one that they had on file was back from 2014, which was severely inaccurate. So we're going to go ahead and get that fixed. So Fish and Wildlife has hit us up about doing some work out there in the ecological zone. Looks like just looking at my email today, the Fire Safe Council has submitted a project request for potentially working on that fire break between Bayview Heights, the county property, the CDFW property, and then some private land up there along Cabrillo. So kind of the existing fire break that was already up there a few years ago and just continuing it along and making something bigger. But CDFW is interested in doing some burning. There's Bishop Pine in that area, which is native to the area, and it requires fire to regenerate. And so I went hiking with them out there probably 4 or 5 months ago. And we found some of the last little stand, about 5-6 trees out there. So they're interested in doing some mosaic burning. So low intensity fire within prescription to hopefully get those trees to come back. If you go out to Montana de Oro, Coon Creek area, we did a vegetation management program out there and did a little fire out there a few years back prior to my time getting here. And there's been significant rebound in that species out there. So looking to reduce the fuels in the area. And that way, if there is a fire, it's less intense. Fire is probably one of the best ways to do it, especially if we do it with low intensity. It'll let the animals get out of the way. It won't destroy the existing vegetation there. So look forward to that project moving forward. The county renewed the contract back in for July 1 of 2024 to 2025. It sounds like the new contract, which is a 3-year extension of that, that would be for July 2025 to 2028. That contract will be going to the board potentially on June 17th. And so hopefully that'll be some additional personnel and some additional funding coming through. That is report.
Chief, what's the timeline look like, you think, for when we have our new Tavern chief in place, and you're full time slow.
Yeah. So the right now I'm serving both capacities. I'm servicing both areas.
I picked that part, but you have
two. And then so to get the replacement, I would say mid July at the very soonest, but probably August would be my guess. Just the processes that it has to go through for review, getting folks in for interviews, doing the resume reviews, getting folks in for the interviews, then getting it through the approval processes through the state system. I would venture to guess somewhere mid July, early August.
Okay.
So Chief Brandt will be on station after July 1. So at the next board meeting, I should be able to get him here to make an introduction.
Sounds good.
So, and then I'm going to phone numbers are all the same. Responsibilities are all the same. I just took on a couple extra projects. So nothing's changing in the interim. And then, we'll make sure that we mentor whoever that is to be successful.
Well, that's great. I mean, you're still in the unit, so you're not far.
I'm still in the unit, still in the division. I'm not going anywhere.
Cool. All right. Well, congratulations on your new job, and thank you for all your help here.
Yep.
Yeah, I want to say extra thanks. Chief Province, he's been a great partner, helped us move our programs along, beat our heads against the wall up with U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service to get to what he was talking about. They finally have agreed to some sort of fuel reduction work. So anyway, thank you, Paul.
And on that note, the weed abatement inspections, that process is going much smoother this year. We've got some folks that have some experience in there that are running the program right now. It's been very seamless compared to the last few years, kind of getting through COVID, kind of working through support staff and all that, but we're actually keeping good timelines on everything. All the work has been delegated appropriately. So we're moving forward real well. I'm hoping this next round of inspections, we'll see a pretty significant reduction in new notices. But we do intend to go to abatement, attempt to go to abatement on these properties that are non-compliant. So,
okay.
Which would be the first time we've ever done that in the history of the district.
Wow.
So
thank you.
All right.
Thank you very much.
All right. Have a good night.
Yep. Okay. With that, that ends our public safety report. So I probably need to take public comment on public safety reports.
If you'd like to make a public comment and you're online, please raise your hand and in the boardroom, come to the podium. There's no public comment online.
Okay. Our next order of business are a couple of public hearings. The first is a public hearing to consider and tabulate written protests from water customers and property owners within the district's water service area regarding proposed water rates. And with that, I can open the public hearing, right?
Yes, thank you. And I have a short presentation that will lead us through the procedures that I've listed at the beginning of the report. Just a couple of how the meeting will go. We'll consider public comment and receive written requests and withdrawals of previously filed written protests until the close of the public hearing, so we can still accept protest votes until we close this public hearing. Then we'll close the public hearing, and then we'll announce the tabulation. Sorry, my voice is going here. And if there is not a majority protest, staff is recommending that we adopt the new water rates pursuant to Resolution 2025-07. We went through this pretty extensively back at our April meeting. We began work back in February 2025. We went to the Finance Advisory Committee for review and input on March 3rd. We had board input on March 6th, UAC reviewed on March 19th. We did a follow-up Finance Advisory Committee follow-up on March 31st, and then the board tentatively approved the rates on April 3rd. We did then release the Proposition Note 218 notification on April 21st, and here we are at the adoption hearing, and if approved, the effective date will be July 1st, 2025. Again, as I said, the board tentatively approved the rate rates on April 3rd, and we did follow all the requirements of Proposition 18, giving at least 45 days to owners and customers of record prior to this meeting tonight. quick review. As you recall, back in April, we looked at various scenarios ranging from what type of capital income we wanted to, or revenue we wanted to generate, what type of, using the other assumptions, you know, inflation for operations, et cetera. This is what the board ultimately agreed upon, raising the base fee over the three-year period, and then slight increases over the three-year period as well in each of the tiers. So with that, we can open this. That's my presentation. We can open public comment, and then we'll go through the final steps.
Okay, do you have any comments from the board? We've talked about this several times. So I think we're all comfortable with it pretty much.
Yes.
Okay, I'll open it for public comment then.
If you're online, please raise your hand. And if you're in the boardroom, please come to the podium.
Go ahead, Richard. It's on. I actually have it on.
It is. It's way ahead of us. Just real quick, I know the board had a concern, and we did too, about the low, the customers of low consumption, you know, that it wouldn't impact them greatly. Just for information, at the end of year three, somebody using one unit, their bill will have gone up about $18. Somebody using five units, their bill, and this is annually, their bill would have gone up about $54 annually. So I think since we have a large chunk of customers in that zero to one, and it's not bad in the, I mean, zero, one to five, in the six to 10, it's not terrible. The big hit is in the higher tier, but I know we were all concerned about the low consumers, consumption users, and those on fixed income. So I don't think that's too big a hit. If you divide that number, that annual number by 12, it's not significant.
Thanks, Richard.
There's no public comment online.
Thank you. I'm all new to this, so I just had a quick question. If somebody can explain, I understand the tier charge because I've stayed really, really, really hard to stay in tier one with an average of 12 to 13 gallons a day. It's not easy. Can somebody explain this volume charge to me? I don't understand that.
Yeah, we'll get to that. Can you put your name, say your name for the record?
Oh, I'm sorry. My name's Sandy King.
Okay, thank you. So the math. What we normally do is we take our public comments and then we'll respond to them at the very end.
Okay.
So
is that
okay?
We have that.
That was,
that's your question.
That was pretty much. Oh, and I did have one other. Is there something we can do as residents to know what our usage is? Because like I said, mine stayed really, really low. And then I had some company and they washed their hands and flushed toilets and all of a sudden I'm way up here. So is there a way that, do we have any kind of meter or something that I can go out and look at and yell at people? No, don't do that. You know, don't flush that toilet. So that I know I can stay in tier one.
Again, so, once you're finished, you can have a seat and we'll answer your
question. Okay, that was all I had. Yeah.
Thank you. If I understood your question, tier versus volume, tiers are a range of units. A water unit, 748 gallons. And so the volume of water equals, like when you use one unit, two units, that's the volume. The tiers are from 1 to 5, 6 to 10, 11 to 20, and then 21 and above. So, and that's where you'll see the different, if you use within that tier, you have that volume charge, and that's the unit charge, which is 748 gallons. Thank you.
We do have a program. It's a rebate program for a device called Flume. And this attaches to your meter. We supply a $100 rebate, and the unit or the customer charge is another $105 now, Margaret. Yes. And that can actually, you can watch your water use on your phone or or a computer. So you might be interested in purchasing one of those. And then that gives you up-to-date information. And it actually, you can set alarms and it can tell you if you're using more than you want. Flume, F-L-U-M-E. And you can get more information at the office during the day. Yep. Thank you for your comments.
Okay. I don't see any other public comment, so I can close public
comment.
Matthew, I think your microphone's off.
Yeah.
Do I close public the...
Close public comment.
Yeah, that's one thing. But right. The public hearing, we keep open until you tabulate these results.
Close the hearing. Look what I have here. You have to close the public hearing as well. Okay. So, and then we'll do the tabulation.
So we are going to close the public hearing. So no more votes.
Okay. We had 289 valid protests. The magic number for a successful protest is 1,384.
Okay, so we do not have a majority protest.
Correct.
And so that comes back to the board for any further discussion or a motion.
I'll add one comment to all of this and kind of a follow-up to what Richard said. Our rates are always a concern. Always. And there was a year that we did not take a scheduled rate increase because we didn't need it. One of the factors that this board considered was an inflation rate for the revenue forecasts. And I'll remind you that the Utility Advisory Committee wanted to be conservative and go with 4%. And listening to the public who wanted us to be conservative and go with 3%, that's what we did. So we always take the public concern into heart with all of this. We want to provide good service at a very fair price. And our rates are good. I'm very confident of that. So with that, I'll move that the board adopt Resolution 2025-07, approving a water rate increase, which will become effective according to law.
I'll second that.
Okay, I have a motion and a second. Can I have a roll call, please?
Director Sesenia.
Yes.
Director Hubbard.
Yes.
Director Cross.
Yes.
Vice President Forcroy.
Yes. And with that, we have unanimous votes in favor. And so the motion carries. Okay, our next order of business is a public hearing to adopt proposed fiscal year 25-26 budget.
Okay. Again, this is something we had extensive discussion about at our last meeting. And again, it's gone through committee of Finance Advisory and Utility Advisory Committees. Just to start off, you know, the goals and objectives of our budget are to fund operations and programs, fund our reserves, which we've been very successful, and accomplish the committee work plans, which are established by the board. I do want to take this time to thank my staff, our staff. They're amazing. Laura, Margaret, Alicia, and Carol in the office really helped put all the numbers together. Adrian, our district accountant, is amazing, keeping us all in line. And then the water crew is very helpful in looking at the line item budgets and capital, you know, what we're working on. So we want to thank all of them as well, and especially Nate, who is our water resource crew leader. So basically, we presented the prelim budget at the May 1st meeting. So the following information summarizes any changes that were made since the May 1st meeting. So we're not going to go into in-depth detail, similar to the water rate presentation. The one thing that the board did approve was the allocation of the Zone A property tax. This was our option two. We had several options to try to balance out what the board felt were the needs for the various programs
that we typically allocate Zone A revenues to. So this was the outcome, again, funding or directing funding to fire as our number one priority, Parks and Rec because of our Sunnyside school purchase acquisition project. And then the $50,000 was part of the rate analysis that the board just approved the rate increase for, and then drainage, which has always needed extra money and does have some large expenditures coming up probably in the next couple of years. Jumping in, admin, there is no changes. So basically nothing has changed in this budget. The budget did increase by about $16,600. Which has the corresponding revenue increase. Bay Ridge, again, this is a very small budget. No changes made on this one. This is basically a lighting district now up in the Bay Ridge neighborhood. So no changes since the May meeting. There have been a few changes in Fund 301 Fire. As noted, we did allocate Zone A tax revenues, the 39.6%, which equates to that $131,000 about. But another interesting thing happened a couple of weeks after the May meeting. We received another Schedule A amended agreement, which decreased the cost of the Schedule A charges by about $167,000. Fortunately, Rob Jenkins, Chief Jenkins, discovered an error in how they were charging overtime. And so we got our third revision from the original. So at least they've been trending the right direction every time. So Schedule A charges have been updated to the $3.3 million range. That did take our deficit down from $445,000 to about $278,000. And this year, we are recommending, or at least especially for this one, that the board authorize using about up to $279,000 from the general contingency reserve to offset the budget deficit. Now, I want to say that $278,000 is showing us the deficit. It will go down because, as you know, Schedule A is budgeted at top of range for all the staffing. So typically, I wouldn't be surprised if that came down at least $100,000. So at least we're getting closer to breaking even on that one, but we're still in the red. So this shows the key things here. Services and supplies take that drop from the $167,000 approximately. The board did approve the transfers going up for fire and some of the others. So I'm noting those. And then you can see the change in that budget deficit at the very bottom of the summary table. No changes in Fund 400. Again, like Bay Ridge, this is basically for lighting up in that neighborhood. Fund 500, Zone A property tax allocation stayed at the $50,000. We did have to increase our regulatory line item by $1,000, which isn't a great deal of money in this, but we wanted to note that that did change. That we're also here recommending that the board authorize the use of up to $1.3 million from capital outlay reserve to offset the deficit that we'll see on the next slide. Again, this is to balance the deficits that we're seeing of zero in that expenditure and expense at the bottom of the table. But with this, like other years, we do have quite a bit of unassigned cash that we can be using. And so we'll probably not use the entire $1.3 million that's being recommended here. It'll be the up to. And this shows down at the very bottom the net revenue versus expenses where that $1.3 million come from. And then I just put arrows by the highlighted areas that we noted during the prelim budget review that were the big ticket items. And the, again, transfers here go down because we did decrease the water transfer percentage. Wastewater, no change. This is really a pass-through in admin budget. Solid waste, no change. I did want to note this was one of the other budgets we approved. The board approved an increase in the percentage of transfer for the cost allocation. Drainage, the 50,000 we noted during the zoning allocation was added, and then this also had a slight increase in the regulatory fees, again, very minor. And like the others, we did increase the transfer allocation percentage slightly on here, but this still comes out with a very healthy net revenue to expense at that bottom line of about 21,500. Parks and Rec, this has been a big ticket item for us, or at least conversation-wise. We did put in 100,000 of the Zone A money, which will then provide the needed revenue to continue our pursuit of acquiring Sunnyside School. And we did also include an increase in their cost allocation percentage. As I mentioned, Utilities Advisory Committee recommended the board approve funds 500 and 800 budgets, and the Finance Advisory Committee recommended the board approve the whole entire fiscal year 2025-26 budget. So we have a lot of recommendations here, and I can answer any questions.
Okay, bring this back to the board for questions, discussion.
We're obviously leaning heavily into reserves for a couple of the funds, and that can't go on for too long. I'm assuming that FEMA reimbursement will come along someday and maybe help the water situation, but fire is different.
Yeah, the fire is the concerning one, definitely. Well, drainage, you know, drainage has been paying back the loan to Fund 500.
Right.
The closest we're coming to even from FEMA that they're acknowledging we might get payment is for the initial cost that we incurred between January 9th and the end of February, which was $62,000. So that's the closest one that I've heard of so far. We'll see about the other FEMA money. But, you know, for instance, FEMA has indicated, and Cal OES, where I've applied for a mitigation grant to do the west side of the basin for the project, they said it's at least 2 years out before we hear anything on that.
Yeah, I can understand asking for extra money, but boy, reimbursement.
And I forget the other amount we put in for the initial disaster. It's in, I think, around the 450,000, somewhere in there. Don't hold me to that, but it's a larger number. And you know, water, I'm not too concerned about because we've been able cash flow wise, though we have some big expenses just starting to hit to finish up Program C. SCADA is well along, and we haven't paid an invoice on that yet, or we haven't seen an invoice on it. And some of these other big ticket items are starting to move. But we have a lot of unassigned cash in both of those funds, 301 and 500. But that said, we will have to find a solution to 301.
Okay, any other questions, comments from the board? Let's open this for public comment.
If you're online, please raise your hand. And if you're in the boardroom, please come to the podium. There's no public comment online.
Richard Margetson. A little nostalgic. Chuck will understand this. It's nice to have top-notch management. That budgets pretty much get through without the room being filled. 20 years ago was the passing of Yes on AO5, which was for the fire tax. 20 years ago was also a budget hearing that went on for about 4.5 hours. And one public commenter made a comment that the board wanted to, you know, get more information. That went 47 minutes. We've come a long way from 20 years ago. And Chuck was there. I was there. It's nice to be in the position we are now and pretty much the envy of financially of the other CSDs in the county. financially. A lot of grief, a lot of hard work, but top-notch management now, and it didn't end 20 years ago. The Kathy Kivley budgets were a mess. It's pretty much new management and getting us on board and making sure that we're not overspending, but that we're spending money on the right things. So thanks, Ron. Thanks for everybody's hard work. And Chuck, thanks for being there for 20 years.
Can't help it.
Thank you for the kind word, Richard. We need the microphone because we record it.
Yeah, and I'm Sandy King. Thank you. I just had a really quick question. I live on the El Moro Parkway, and when it was put in, the county said they were going to be maintaining all the weeds, and then they said they were turning it over to Parks and Rec, and none of us can figure out, other than us as residents who are out there weed whacking, who's supposed to be maintaining those weeds? Thank you.
Great question. This has been one of those, I wish Chief Province was still here. The county Parks and Rec is supposed to be maintaining it. I shouldn't say that. It could be Public Works. It could be Parks and Rec. I think it's Parks and Rec. But they've been claiming, because of endangered species, now threatened species, that they couldn't get in there and do the work. That has now been resolved, and they should be maintaining it. And I know if they are part of the inspection process and were probably notified that they would have to do weed abatement in that area.
Yeah, the Habitat Conservation Plan should allow that
right
to move forward.
Well, plus, we've got guidelines now from U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service that protects everyone, and those guidelines are in the notices saying, mechanical, you can't go below 4 inches if you're whacking, stay away from shrubs, mm-hmm. that kind of thing.
Yeah, some guidance.
Right, some guidance.
I would like to echo what Mr. Margetson said. It is such a comfort to be able to stand tall when questions come and just say, we got an answer. It may take us a few minutes to get to it, but we don't duck questions anymore. It's nice. It really is.
Well,
nice.
Again, I go back to our staff too,
Oh, absolutely.
Laura, Adrian, Margaret mainly are, they know the numbers. If I don't know it, one of them knows it.
Yeah, thank you, everyone, for this. With that, I'll bring it back to the board. Entertain a motion.
All right, I'll go ahead and read all this. I move that the board adopt Resolution 2025-08, approving the fiscal year 2025/2026 final budget, and direct staff to continue to work with the county to resolve the issues with countywide overhead and other related county fire contract concerns, and approve increasing the transfer amount for funds 301, 650, 800, 900, and decreasing the transfer amounts for fund 500, as stated in the report, and authorize the use of up to $279,000 of Fund 301's general contingency reserve, offset the Fund 301's budget deficit, and authorize the use of up to $1.3 million of Fund 500's capital outlay reserve to offset the Fund 500's budget deficit.
I'll second that.
Okay, I have a motion and a second. May I have a roll call, please?
Director Hubbard.
Yes.
Director Sesenia.
Yes.
Director Cross.
Yes.
Vice President Forkroy.
Yes. With that, we have unanimous agreement. The motion carries. Our budget is adopted. Okay, onwards to our general action items. 4A is our water supply and status report.
Thank you. I started this last year. It was after we had worked on the water shortage contingency plan, and I'd been wanting to do it probably
before last year, but we're on track for an annual report on where we're at with water supply, generally following the same format that we did during the last report. So the purpose is to provide the board and community with an overview of the district's water supply outlook, water production history, rainfall totals, per capita water use trends, and other information, water-related information. And we'll be doing this on an annual basis. Just a little bit of background, the Los Osos Groundwater Basin, which is adjudicated and managed by a coordinated effort with the district, Golden State Water, S&T Mutual, and the County of San Luis Obispo. These entities make up the Basin Management Committee, which oversee the implementation of the groundwater management plan known as the Basin Plan. We have 7 wells. Bay Oaks is still under construction, but we included it here. Palisades, 8th Street Lower. These are all lower aquifer wells. These are all in Zone E, except Bay Oaks, which will be, when it's activated, be in Zone D and E. 10th Street and South Bay Lower. We have 2 upper aquifer wells at 3rd Street and 8th Street. I put this in because, you know, right after I got here in 2019, we went through a series of having to rehabilitate 3 of our 4 existing lower aquifer wells. This is really an indication of the well infrastructure and how fragile the nature of our water system. Fortunately, if we only go down 1 well, we can typically backfill okay with the remaining 2 wells. In the summer, we would have a hard time. So this just shows the stress that the system can be under if we have well failures. But fortunately, because of our capital program, we've been able to afford the rehabilitation and stay up on those. A little bit about the basin plan that we continue to try to implement as part of the Basin Management Committee. The program A, which entails shifting and or adding water production from the upper aquifer. Like I stated, we have 2 upper aquifer wells, 3rd Street and 8th Street. 8th Street's been a little bit limited because of the lack of SCADA, or, you know, communication. So we can't operate it automatically. It has to be done manually, but that's going to change with our new project, SCADA project that's coming. Did want to mention, we did have a 3rd upper aquifer well at South Bay. The decision this year was to take it out of service after it tested in the 4th PFAS at a level that was higher than the maximum contaminant level. We also had a failure of a nitrate analyzer that would have been the 2nd time that had happened in the last 5 years, and it was going to cost us between $30,000 and $40,000 to replace. Since it was such a low-producing well and it was very expensive to operate, we decided to take it out of service. Basin Plan Program C, the strategy is to shift pumping from the western portion of the basin to the middle and the east. And so, as you all know, we're near completion of our Bay Oaks well, which is a Program C well. And this will add operational integrity and kind of shift us more away from, hopefully, our 8th Street and Palisades. We've already cut Palisades back dramatically, but we need to lower 8th Street as well. We continue to work on the Water Supply Resiliency Intertie Project. Been working on this since October 2022. The strategy is to bring imported water in during wet years to offset pumping in the groundwater basin. This is an important, as we see the climate change and other changes in weather, this strategy, I think, is going to provide the resiliency plus the needed water to help balance our basin and be an important tool. We have completed the preliminary design and environmental impact assessment work has been completed. I don't know if I have another slide on this one. Yes, I do. Still working to secure project financing. A little bit of movement from the federal government on this. I finally heard from the Army Corps of Engineers. I have a meeting scheduled at the end of the month to see if this project will make it into their 2025 work plan. So cross your fingers. Hopefully that helps and we can keep moving along with that. We also still need to negotiate with the county for an allocation from the State Water Project. Fortunately, the county is close to approving a new state water policy that will help move the allocation of the unallocated water out to users like us that need it. Water production, this is a decrease. The goal is to decrease production from the wells on the western side, like I stated. And this is an important tool to track overall water use within the basin. And, you know, we report to the BMC, Basin Management Committee, so we can see from each purveyor how much we are extracting from the groundwater basin. So this provides valuable information to the customer on water consumption. It helps us monitor our water system for water loss and tracking revenues to support operations. So here's water production graph for since 2015. You can see it's trending down. We had a couple of wet years there, but even, 2024 was just a little above average. 2023 was way above average. UAC said it'd be nice to see the rainfall overlay on this, and that's what I'll try to do next year so you can kind of see the correlation on this. But production has been right around the 500 acre feet per year. Rainfall, tracking the cumulative impacts of rainfall is one of our key, in our water shortage contingency plan, we added the water level metric, and that is really an indicator from the amount of rainfall we have each year. And so it's important to track rainfall amounts. Our rainfall years from July 1 through June 30th, and that's the period now in our water shortage contingency plan. But we do have a reference to March 31st in our water shortage contingency plan, because if we're seeing, like this year, rainfall is trending down, but because of 2 years of adequate rain this year, it hasn't been bad. It's around 13 inches, but it's something to watch. So it doesn't really trigger anything in the way our climatic and water level metrics are set up. But this March 31st, if we see a trend that's making us uncomfortable, that's about the time of year we should increase or decrease our stages for water shortage. So here's our rainfall, again, going back from 2015 through June 2024. You can see a couple of the years down there, the 34 inches, 18 inches. We had a bunch of years, 3 years in a row, that were about where we were at this year. Again, you can see it kind of bounces around. I wanted to talk a little bit about per capita water use. Residential per capita water use is defined as the amount of water used per person per day in a household. It is calculated. We use a state of California formula that uses monthly production, the percentage of single and multifamily residential accounts, population, and days in a particular month to calculate the per capita number. So we typically look at residential, single and multifamily, because that's the majority of our uses. Here's a graph that again shows our trending downward. And again, this is the average. We have customers like the one in the room that are extremely low, but being under 60 gallons per person per day is quite good when compared to other communities, because this includes indoor and outdoor water use. And just briefly, we did update the water shortage contingency plan back in October 2023. And like I've been referencing, there were modifications to the climatic triggers to enter and exit vary stage. And these are all based on current conditions and operational experience. We did move to a stage three, especially since the rainfall, above average rainfall in the 2022-23 and 2023-24 rain years. Even though we're indicating that we're going to be below average this year,
we are recommending, staff is recommending that we stay at the stage two because we haven't really hit the triggers that outlined in the water shortage plan. But this is definitely then hopefully not the start of another drought, but we'll have to be on watch. The Utilities Advisory Committee did review this information at their May 21st meeting, and they did recommend to the board that we remain at that stage two level. And I can answer any questions.
Back to the board for questions, comments.
I really like this. Is there a way to make it available on our website without it being an attachment to this month's agenda type thing?
I'm sure Laura can figure that out.
Yeah, it just seems like it's a valuable resource for anybody who wants to just say, I need an overview of what's going on with water here.
Right. Are you talking like mainly just showing the headings without the other report type things like?
Oh, no.
Or the whole report?
I'm talking the whole report.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We can definitely do
that. Just put that whole report in there.
Yeah.
And let it generate whatever questions it might. But there's such a good background of information there that.
I know for myself, too, just maybe because I'm a water nerd, but it's really helpful to see history and where we are at. And the trends.
Okay, with that, let's open this to public comment.
If you're online, please raise your hand and in the boardroom, come to the podium. There's no public comment online.
Okay, with that, back to the board, entertaining a motion.
I move that the board approve remaining in stage two of the district's water shortage contingency plan.
I'll second that.
Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Okay. Unanimous. Pass that motion and move on to public comment for items not on this agenda.
If you're online, please raise your hand and in the boardroom, come to the podium.
Yep. Richard Margetson, this will be quick. Because then I'm going to go see if I can catch the fourth quarter of the ball game, the ball game. Friday and Saturday is the annual People Helping People rummage sale at the community center. We finished getting everything over there today. The room is completely full. We have maybe a third more sitting in the back conference room to put out either tomorrow or Saturday morning. Hours are 12 to 4 on Friday and 9 to 2. One third of the proceeds go to People Helping People. One third goes to the community center, and one third is set aside for the Needs and Wishes annual fundraiser that benefits the North SLO North Clinic and 40 Prado Homeless Services Center. So, if you need a treasure or just want to stop by and drop off a donation, see you there. Chuck will be there. Comes every year.
Of course. So I furnish my kitchen. The things I don't get at the Needs and Wishes.
Thank you, Richard. Okay, moving on to administrative and committee reports. Looks like we're going to go straight to the GM report.
A couple of things. I did supply an update on Sunnyside School property acquisition. It's still, the project team is working hard to put together the cost estimates. Been working with Wallace Group to refine those. We'll have those completed hopefully beginning of next week. And we'll be able to start formulating what it might cost the community in terms of either fundraising, property tax, or all or a combination of. We are trying to move towards a second town hall meeting event either in late July or early August. I did already provide you with a water resiliency intertie update. I just wanted to quickly mention the multi-jurisdictional hazard mitigation plan. The draft plan is out. We have it up on our website. Been working on this for about 9 months. It's important to the district in that you cannot apply for disaster relief. Hopefully we don't need to in the future, but you can't apply unless you have an approved plan. So anyway, it's open for public comment. I think there is a workshop coming up for the public. We have that posted on our website as well. And with that, I can answer any questions.
So that workshop would be sponsored by the county?
Yes.
Okay.
The workshop happened last week.
Oh, I'm sorry. Sorry, we missed it. We had it on our website. Oops. Thank you, Laura.
Okay. Let's move down to the UAC.
You heard about the one extra feature that we normally don't go over, and that is the annual water report. Other than that, we talked about budgets and basin management updates, and I'll touch on that later. Nothing unusual except that water report, and I like the idea of just having that on our website.
Great. Can do. Thank you.
Okay. FAC, Chris is not here. I'm guessing you guys talked about budget a little more.
We talked a little bit. I gave him a very brief overview since, you know, they'd been through it twice, and just gave him what the decisions were made on May 1st. And then they did recommend approval of the warrants and financials.
Emergency services, was there a meeting?
Nope, not yet.
We talked about the annual report. It was released last month. It'll be approved this month and then sent on to the judge by July 1st, I think, is the target date for that. Kind of mixed results, you know. I mean, we haven't been seeing a lot of rain, so we didn't expect great strides in meeting our criteria, but we didn't really advance in nitrates. We even increased. I mean, we took a step back from our goals. So there's some scrambling going on. This next week, 2 weeks, the BMC will take the first look at the results from the new transient model. And that should give us a much better picture of just the state of the basin, the health of the basin. It's the start of the rollout of that transient model. It's very complex. You can run different scenarios that will tell you just a lot about the health of the basin. And so that will all come over the next couple of months, between now and probably September or so, before we get a full rollout of this new model. It's powerful. But we'll start hearing some things on the 16th.
Matthew, we missed LOCAC, and I think Rich had some.
Okay. Sure. Let's go back to.
I would like to hear that. I was, because I missed the meeting. So.
Oh, it says written, so I didn't. I skipped over it. Mm-hmm. But yeah, who went to LOCAC?
That would be me.
Okay.
Yeah, the highlights I have here for that are basically they have a desire for a new monitoring well at Sweet Springs Preserve, not the bar, but the preserve. Bruce Gibson is talking about construction of the new bridge for South Bay. It's supposed to start in 2026. Deborah Howe was asking about the drainage plan in regards to the new construction of the Baywood Elementary School. She had concerns about the flooding, possibility of flooding problems. Molly Brown was looking to see who was determining the weed abatement violations. I said it was probably CAL FIRE, and I was right. So then we had that. Let me see what else there was. Oh, they are, LOCAC is approving recommendation to the county planning for the development of parcel on 1300 Second Street, which is the parcel right next to, it's where the old gas station was way back in the day, right near High Street Deli. And it's going to be combination commercial and residential type of building. And so they're going to recommend that that permit be approved. Let me see, what else was a big deal there? I think that's pretty much the highlights of that that meeting.
Okay, thanks, Rich.
Sure.
Any director's announcements?
I went to a couple of things I want to comment on. One, I went to Cap Slo's annual Employee Appreciation Day on Tuesday. It was a wonderful afternoon. I'm a firm believer in not only hiring good staff, but letting them know that you appreciate their work. It really goes a long way. And getting back to what you were talking about today and help with the budget and putting all of this together. It doesn't end with hiring good staff. You got to let them know what you think and that you appreciate their hard work. And so that was a really wonderful day. Cap Slo, nonprofit, they have employees that work there 30, 35, no 40-year people this year, but 36 people had been there 35 years at a nonprofit. That's pretty powerful. The other thing, yesterday I went to the Water Resources Advisory Committee meeting at the county library, and that was where they talked about, as Ron mentioned, the updates to the county's policies for dealing with state water and the subcontractors, and how the goal is to open up the process for subcontractors to be able to wield that water, essentially. Sometimes they get allocated more than they can use, and we just want to make sure that the full county allocation gets used, passed on to districts like ours that could use a little help now and then. But it was a very good conversation and very clear about the fact that the existing subcontractors will be protected. We're looking to ensure that when there's extra water, it gets used. And that's pretty much kind of what we you know, in spite of the fact that you see emails out there talking about us proposing an intertie solution, it's not that. And that was something I learned. State water can never be considered your principal water supply for a project or a community. It's always considered supplemental water. It gets a little fuzzy, I suppose, if a municipality is looking at approving a development knowing that they have state water as part of their mix, but it can't be the sole reason that you go out and approve something. And that was something I learned. So that was a good meeting. And that's it.
Okay. We don't have any previously asked questions. Is anybody want to pull a consent agenda item? Okay, seeing none, we'll do public comment for items on the administrative committee reports and the consent agenda.
If you're online, please raise your hand and in the boardroom, come to the podium. There's no public comment online.
Okay, back to the board for a motion. Call it the Marshall motion. He's not here.
I'll move that we approve the consent agenda.
And
receive and file the administrative and committee reports.
Receive and all that.
Yes. I'll second that.
Okay. A motion and a second. We'll have resolution, so I'll do a roll call, please.
And I'm sorry, who seconded it?
I did. Chuck.
Thank you, Chuck. Okay. Director Cross.
Yes.
Director Sesenia.
Yes.
Director Hubbard.
Yes.
Vice President Forkroy.
Yes. Okay. With that, we've received and filed administrative committee reports and approved the consent agenda. Does anybody have any future agenda items they'd like to let staff know about?
They keep finding us. You know, I have to go looking for them, it seems. But no, nothing at this point.
Okay, closing board comments.
It is the last day of school. I did not know that. So I have to share, I always have to share a little highlight. And one of mine came this week. There's a little pod of about six guys who ride over to Baywood Elementary every morning. And as they rode by the other day, I heard one of them singing a Country Joe and the Fish song from the 1960s, a Vietnam War protest song.
Oh, no.
And I just have to think that somebody's dad's teaching them right. And it was just the cutest little thing. They're a great bunch of guys. And so be careful. There's nothing wrong with speed limits. They're actually a good idea.
Okay, with that, meeting adjourned. Cool.